And because it is the last service in this particular building, it is good for us to pause as a church and to give thanks to God. Because everything that we have has come from God. And this building has been a provision from God. God gave us this building, and God has been pleased to use his people over the decade since 1851. Well, they didn't meet here in 1851. They actually met a little further down Copse Road, but later on they put up this building and started meeting here. And God has been pleased to use his church and to bless his church. And if you remember here, you have known times of blessing. I've known times of blessing in this building as God has met with us. And so it is good for us to pause and to give thanks to God for this building, for his provision. And that is why I asked Alan if we could read Psalm 136, because it is a psalm of thanksgiving. Remember what the psalm said, and if you want to look it up, it's on page 520 in the Bibles in front of you, and it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever." That theme, give thanks to God. Do you know this is one of the great characters, one of the great features of God's people? We ought always, always to be a thankful people. We should never be a complaining people, but we should always be a thankful people. So this morning I want in my sermon to give thanks to God for this building. And what I want to do is say five things. I have 5 points. I'm not going to be very long, I promise you. But I do have 5 points that I want to focus on as means of giving thanks to God. Why should we on this Sunday give thanks to God? Well, I have 5 reasons for you. And the first is this. We give thanks to God because he has established a church in this building that is founded upon the Bible. We give thanks to God because he has established a church in this building that has been founded, that stands upon the Word of God. Back in 1851, God's people met. And they decided to start a church here in Clevedon. Now, their reason for doing this was not because they wanted attention drawn to themselves. It's not because they wanted glory given to them. It's not because they wanted people in Clevedon to say, "Wow, aren't those people at Copse Road Chapel wonderful?" Nothing of the sort. They wanted to bring the Bible, the Word of God, to the people of Clevedon. Now that is a hugely important matter. You know how it is when you receive communication from someone. I mean, imagine if the King of England had written a letter. Imagine he heard that Copse Road Chapel was moving from one building to another, and he'd gone to his desk and picked up his pen, and on Buckingham Palace paper, he'd written a little note saying, "To the members of Copse Road Chapel, I wish you well as you move to your new building." And imagine that one of our members had received this letter. Well, we would say, it's a letter from the King. You know, this isn't just from anybody, it is a letter from the King. But we have here a book that wasn't written by the King, but by the King of Kings. This is the Word of God. God himself wrote this book. God himself reveals himself in this book. In this book we find out who God is and what God is like and how he does his works and why he does what he does. Perhaps you've never read the Bible. Perhaps you've never given thought to the Bible. Perhaps you think to yourself, "Oh, this stuffy old book, it's huge and it's full of words I don't understand and so on. Why should I bother with it?" And I say to you, please bother with it because it is the Word of God. we had a testimony from our brother earlier about how he got saved. I don't want to start competing or anything like that, but can I very, very briefly share with you how I got saved? And I was actually of a similar age. I was 23. And I was a follower of an Indian religion. I found it interesting that Mike looked into Indian religions at the time when I was coming out of Indian religion. But I was brought up in an Indian religion. And somebody spoke to me about the Bible. And I went into a bookshop and I bought a Bible. And I began to read the Bible. Now I must tell you, when I first began to read, none of it made any sense to me, not a word of it. But I persevered because I knew this is something important. And after many months of just reading the Bible in my own front room, God saved me and brought me out of darkness into His light. And so we give thanks to God for this building, because in this building, God has been pleased to establish a church that is founded upon His Word. We take the Word of God very seriously. This is why in our service we read the Word. This is why in our service there's a preacher who will seek to explain the Bible. This is why we seek to apply the Bible. We seek to bring the Bible into people's lives, because this is God speaking and this is God instructing us and this is God explaining to us His great love for us. And we do not intend, certainly while I'm pastor, to compromise with this book. Do you know, it's a remarkable testimony of this church. As far as I can find out, there has never been a pastor in this church who has denied the Bible. There has never been a pastor in this church who has compromised with the Bible. There has never been a pastor in this church who has watered down the Bible, or has twisted its message, changed its words, or anything like that. This is the Word of God, and we stand upon it. So the first reason why we give thanks to God today for this building is because in this building He has established a church founded upon His Word. But there's a second reason why we give thanks to God for this building. We give thanks to God because He has used His servants to preach the gospel in this building. He has used His servants to preach the gospel in this building. Sunday by Sunday, God has ensured that a man stands in this pulpit and preaches Christ. And in the past, there have been numerous ministries. There have been ministries among primary school children, and ministry among secondary school children, and ministry among young people, and ministry among the elderly, and a luncheon club, and a coffee morning. All manner of ways in which this building has been used for the glory of God and in the preaching of the gospel. And perhaps like Mike and several others here, perhaps you were converted here. Perhaps you came to this church and you heard the gospel. You heard the Lord Jesus and you heard about His death on the cross. And perhaps God brought you out of your sin into His kingdom and made you a Christian in this building. Well, if that is the case, then we have every reason, and you certainly have every reason, to give thanks to God. Because in this church we preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel means good news. That's what that word gospel means. It means good news. What is the good news? The good news is that God, who is in heaven, is a God whose heart is filled with love and mercy and compassion and kindness. The God who has created us is not some cruel, heartless, vindictive being who hates humanity and has deserted humanity. Nothing of the kind. The God who created us is full of love and mercy towards us. And these are not just words, but God, who has created us, sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. Christ Jesus came into this world because His Father sent Him. And Christ Jesus came into this world to do something about man's sin and man's rebellion. I wonder if you ever think about your sin. I wonder if you ever say to yourself, there is something not right with me. I'm not right with God, and I'm not right with myself. I wonder if you ever think like that. Mike was talking earlier about how you can have all the possessions of this world. And yes, you can have a house, and you can have a car, and you have family, and you have children, and your children go to nice schools, and you have a nice job, and nice clothes. Now, if you're a young person here today, listen to an older man, these things will never satisfy. I do know how it is when you're young, you think to yourself, if only I had a house, and if only I had a nice car, and if only I had nice clothes, and a nice job, then I would be happy, and I'd be content, and I'd be satisfied. And I say this to you, it has been the testimony of millions of people, that yes, you may have all those things, you may have them in abundance, you will never have happiness, and joy, and contentment. Because until you come to God in Christ, until you come to know the Lord Jesus, until you come to walk with Him, you will never have joy and contentment and satisfaction. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world that He might save us from our sin, because we are all sinners. Every one of us, we have committed sin. You might never think of sin. The word sin might be an alien word to you. And you think, what is all this about sin? This doesn't have any relevance to me. But it does have a relevance to you. Because if you're not a Christian here this morning, you're a sinner before God. Your sin hinders your fellowship with God. Your sin gets in the way of anything that you might have to do with God. And that sin has to be dealt with. That sin has to be removed. That sin has to be forgiven. And Christ Jesus died on the cross, and our sins were laid upon Him, and God punished Him, whereas He should have punished us, and God exacted from Him a penalty for our sins. He was a perfect substitute for us. He died in the place of sinners, and all who put their faith in Him, all who trust in Him, all who come to Him and say to Him, I'm lost and I'm in my sin until You save me. Will You save me today? All who come to Him and pray those words know salvation and the forgiveness of their sins and the joy of God's love and God's grace. Over the decades, people have been saved in this building. People have become Christians in this building. It is the last time we will be meeting in this building. What a remarkable thing it would be if today you became a Christian. What a remarkable thing it would be if you could say, I went to the last service at the Copse Road Chapel in that particular building. And I went because my family had invited me or some friends had invited me. Wasn't particularly interested. But I became a Christian. And in the last service in this building, you become a Christian. What a thing that would be. And do you know, the arms of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, are as wide open today as they have ever been. Over the decades, God's servants have preached His word. And Christ has opened His arms wide. And Christ has said, come. All who are in your sin, come. All who are in your rebellion, come. All who want the joy of Christian living, come. All who want forgiveness of sin, come. And I will save you. And I will cleanse you. And I will make you right with God. Today He invites you. Why not, the last service in this building, turn to Christ and ask Him to save you? So the reason why... The second reason why we preach or we give thanks to God for this building is because God has used His servants to preach the gospel. But then there's a third reason, and I've already alluded to it, but let me expand it a bit further. A third reason why we give thanks to God for this building is that this building has been used of God to reach many people in this town. This building has been used of God to reach many people in this town. I've already spoken about children's work and youth work and work among the elderly. All kinds of works that have gone on in this building. Because God has been pleased to use this building. And people have come to this building over the decades. And there have been those who have been willing to teach them God's word. And primary school children, and secondary school children, and young people, and people who come to a lunch, who came to a luncheon club here, and people who came to coffee morning here. They heard the word of God, because God has been pleased to use this building for various ministries. Can I just pause and make an application here, particularly to those of you who are members of this church? Think on this. How many people have been through this building over the decades? And can I suggest this to you? Why not pray for those who have been through this building and who have heard the word of God? I was reading yesterday the life of John Newton. John Newton was a man who lived in 18th century England. He wrote some great hymns. You may have heard the hymn, Amazing Grace, and John Newton wrote that hymn. And I was again struck by what a remarkable thing it was about how he became a Christian. Because John Newton's mother was a Christian, but she died at the age of 7, when he was 7. She died. So he lost his mother at the age of 7. And eventually he went into the merchant navy. And on one particular voyage from the West Indies coming back to England, the ship that he was in struck a storm. And John Newton, who was by this time in his late 20s, so this is 20 years after his mother has died, John Newton thought he was going to die because he saw that the storm that the ship has struck is a particularly severe storm. And Newton wrote this later in his memoirs. He said, as I saw that storm and I thought to myself, I'm going to die, I remembered Bible verses that my mother had taught me. His mother had been dead 20 years. But he remembered verses at the age of 7, 6, 5 that his mother had taught him. And God used those verses. God brought those verses back to his mind. And on that voyage, John Newton was converted and became a Christian. Now there are people in Cleveland today, in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s. Who as young people, as children and young people came to this church and heard the word of God. And can I suggest, why not in your daily prayer time, pray for those people. Perhaps you know some of them by name. Perhaps they're members of your family, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. But why not pray for one or two in particular and say, Lord, I remember that young man, I remember that young woman. And they've heard your word. Perhaps they have a Bible at home that we gave them. Lord, would you bring your word back to their mind? And would you, Lord, save them? So we give thanks to God for this building. Because in this building he has established a church that is founded upon the Bible. He has used this building for the preaching of the gospel. He has used this building to reach many people here in Clevedon. A fourth reason why we give thanks to God for this building. It is because he has used the church in this building to be a blessing to Christians in various parts of the world. He has used the church that meets in this building to be a blessing to Christians in various parts of the world. An orphanage in northern Zambia has been blessed because of members of this church. A Christian school in Asia has been blessed because of members of this church. Christians in Brazil every few months are blessed because a member of this church goes to Brazil and preaches God's word to them. A church in Bicca in Hungary has been blessed because people from this church went there and helped them with their church ministry. Christians in Romania have been blessed because we as a church support a ministry in Romania. Christians in Peru have been blessed because we've been supporting a missionary in Peru. Christians in West Africa, in Senegal, have been blessed because we support missionaries who live there in Senegal and are making the word of God known. Now, these are just a few examples. These are just the examples that I personally know. And I would imagine over the decades, there have been others who've been a blessing to various other parts of the world. And all because God's people who meet in this building, the church that meets in this building, has been faithful to God, have been prayerful, and have looked to God for blessing, and have prayed for those who work in other parts of the world. And God willing, this will continue. Yes, we intend to bring changes, but we're not making so many huge changes so that we stop our missionary interest. I worked both in Kenya and in India for some years, and I'm very interested in God's work worldwide. And I pray that we as a church continue to pray and continue to support God's servants worldwide. Why shouldn't we? Because God has a worldwide vision, and His church needs to have a worldwide vision. We must never become so narrow-minded and so parochial that we forget there's a world out there where Christ is at work building His church. There are Iranians out there who today are suffering because of the political problems there. There are people in the United States who are in turmoil because of what's happening in their country. And yet God is at work worldwide building His church and blessing His people. And this church is a part of that. So we give thanks to God for this building, because He has established a church here, because that church has preached the gospel, that church has reached many in Clevedon, that church has been a blessing to Christians worldwide. But then fifthly and finally, we give thanks to God for this building, because He still has great plans for His people. He still has great plans for His people. Next week we'll be meeting in the new building. It'll still be Copse Road Chapel. It'll still be God's people. And we will still be worshipping God and giving thanks to Him. And my text, if I can just give you a taster for next week, my text is from Jeremiah chapter 29, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." People often ask me, "Are you discouraged as pastor of Copse Road?" And I say to them, "No, I'm not discouraged. I know that a number of ministries used to take place here, as I've mentioned, work among children and young people and luncheon club and coffee morning. That doesn't happen today. But I'm not discouraged. I've been in the ministry 37 years. God has been very good to me. I've worked in Africa, worked in India, worked in this country. And one thing I've seen is that God is always at work in His church. And God is always bringing His church new challenges. And God is always supporting and encouraging His church through new challenges. And do you know what may appear to be setback is actually a means of blessing? Can I give you an example from the Bible? You read in the book of Acts of the church in Jerusalem, this city there in Israel. And we read in the book of Acts that there was a church in Jerusalem of thousands of people. Thousands and thousands of people had become Christians in the city of Jerusalem. And as you read the book of Acts, you see this church thriving. But then something remarkable happened. A man called Saul of Tarsus decided to persecute that church. And we read in the Bible that Saul would visit Christians in their homes, and he would drag them out into the streets, and he would imprison them, because he hated Christians. And so this fierce persecution of the church began in Jerusalem. Now the church might think, this is a huge setback. We've been seeing conversions. We've been seeing growth. Thousands have been becoming Christians. But this man has declared war on the church. And the church is now in danger of being exterminated because Saul has begun this persecution of the church. But we read in the book of Acts that because persecution came, Christians had to leave Jerusalem. And they went into towns and cities and villages all around the district, all around the country. It's a little bit like if Christians in Clevedon were persecuted, and some of them went to Kingston Seymour, and some went to Yatton, and some went to Congressbury, and some went to Portishead. And so Christians had to be scattered. And the Bible says wherever they went, they preached the word of God. And they saw conversions. So in all these little towns and villages and cities, churches came into being. And one particular city in the northeast on the coast, a city called Antioch, a large church came into being. And Saul of Tarsus, who was at one time persecuting the church, became a Christian and became a member of that church in Antioch. And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to the church in Antioch and said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul, because I have a work for them. And eventually Saul, who became Paul, went into Europe and preached the gospel. And so the Christian message came to Europe for the first time. And Europe was evangelized. And eventually the Europeans went to Africa and to India and preached there. And Africa and India were evangelized. Do you know, it's a really remarkable thing that humanly speaking, none of us would be here today if persecution had not broken out in Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? If persecution had not broken out in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem would have remained in Jerusalem. Perhaps they might have gone out occasionally, but by and large they would have remained in Jerusalem. They would have become happy and settled and comfortable and sort of plodded along. But God sent this persecution. And so the Christians had to be scattered. And therefore came up the church in Antioch. And God sent members of that church into Europe. And God then sent those Europeans to other parts of the world. So you as Europeans became Christian. And I as an African Asian became a Christian. Because of the work that God has done through his servants. All because of persecution that broke out in Jerusalem. Can I say something to you very sincerely? And I'm going to develop this next week. I believe we're on the verge of something very great. I really do believe that. This is not something I'm having to persuade myself and convince myself. Because God is always bringing new things. He's always moving his church to new challenges. And if we as a church can embrace those challenges, if we as a church can lay hold of God in prayer, and if we as a church say to him, yes, you're doing great things and we want to be part of it, then the church that meets here will have its last service on the day the Lord Jesus returns and not before. Well, I'll speak more about that next week. If you're able to come, do come. We'll be looking at Jeremiah 29, the plans that God has for his church. But five reasons why we give thanks to God for this building. Because here he has established a church founded upon his word. He has used his servants to preach his word. He has used this building to minister to the people of this town. He has used this church to be a blessing to the nations of the world. And he has great plans for his people. Praise God for his faithfulness, for his mercy, and for his steadfast love.